Good day, everyone. This is Manuel from AAA Physical Therapy, and we have these special edition for our podcast regarding a physical therapy's collaboration mindset for health and wellness, wherein we will invite the three individuals who's running for county executive here at Howard County in order to identify what their plans are regarding health and wellness. And I think this is a great avenue for us to go in and hear and listen to them in terms of what their game plans are and to provide this venue so that we would know more of what's going to happen next in the next 4 years. So for our guest today, we will have Dr. Calvin Ball. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you. How about you?
I'm doing fantastic.
Awesome. So they are very busy individuals, but we are so grateful that they found the time and the opportunity to go ahead and do this podcast recording. So again, in order to share that message to our listeners of what their game plans are. So let's go ahead and start digging in here. And maybe let's begin first with introducing yourself of what you want to share.
Sure. I'm Calvin Ball, and I'm currently on the Howard County Council, and I'm running for Howard County Executive because I want Howard County to be the very best place to live, work, and play for everyone, and not just overall, but for all.
So if you could kindly identify the top three issues that you see that Howard County residents face regarding health and wellness.
Well, there are numerous issues, but if I had to identify just three, I'd start with the explosion of the opioid crisis and drug addiction. I think that we're seeing not only a proliferation, but its pervasiveness going throughout Howard County. And I think that it's going across every socioeconomic and demographic level, which frankly is one of the things that makes everyone focus in on a little bit more. Unfortunately, there's been drug addiction for years and years. And unfortunately, a lot of times when people have thought about drug addiction, they've looked at certain demographic issues, race, socioeconomic level, where people grew up, education level. And I think the opioid crisis is cutting across all of those areas of diversity. I see it exploding. I see its accessibility. And I see that there really is very little as far as a plan of action. And oftentimes, too few people even talk about it. So that's one. I think another one is just mental health. There are so many people with mental health challenges and mental health disabilities, and there is still this stigma, as is with the opioid crisis, of people who need mental health and have challenges and need help. And for people to seek help and for people to be supportive during those difficulties. And you know, one of the things that I continue to grow concerned about is every time there are issues and incidences, especially of violence, whether it's bullying or gun violence, the first thing people talk about is, oh, we need to do more with mental health. And there are a lot of people struggling with mental health illness who aren't violent and aren't doing these crimes. And so I think it creates sometimes an exacerbated stigma. And I think finally, the access to affordable health care. We're seeing more and more visits to the emergency room and what have you because a lot of people don't have the access. And we're even seeing, especially as the immigrant population increases, if they're undocumented immigrants, instead of going and getting health care, having a place that's accessible like we have in places like Montgomery County or what have you, we see, just for example, prenatal care. There will be people who, if they have a baby on the way, won't do anything and will just show up at the hospital emergency room. And so that adds more stress to our hospital ER when there are other legitimate emergencies, so to speak. But also, it makes it so that that mother didn't have the child-infant care that she could have had going along the way. So again, you know, the opioid crisis and drug addiction, mental health awareness, and access to affordable health care.
With these top three issues, what are your plans or initiatives to address these top three issues?
Well, I'm glad that you talked about that we can't hide these anymore because there are numerous health challenges, whether it's obesity or heart disease. But those three in particular, people often, there's a stigma and they hide. And so the first and most important thing is just awareness. Just making sure that we start eliminating the stigma, whether we're going into schools, we're empowering our PTAs, and just parents. We're going into summertime right now, and there are going to be a lot of kids at home. Mm-hmm. And this is when they maybe have a little bit less structure. So if they start getting into things when parents are working, this is when it might happen because they're not at the school. Or if there are certain mental health challenges, this is when sometimes people are don't have the same structure. There are changes in the temperature and the environment, and making sure that there is that access to affordable health care. We're seeing the Affordable Care Act consistently under attack at the top level by the president and many who support him, and that creates an air of unpredictability. So when you have this healthcare market and you have insurers, they're looking around and they don't know how to plan out for the next several months, years down the line, and understand what are the rules so that we can work by them and help people. And so I think getting the stigma out is part of the first part of the plan, letting people know that we do have these crises, that we do have drug addiction here in Howard County where people are doing so well, that people do have not just physical health problems, but mental health problems that they need to work with, mm-hmm. that there are people who don't have health care because they feel like they can't afford it or it's just not for them here in Howard County. And one of the biggest things, once you kind of get past that stigma, is letting them know what the resources are, mm-hmm. whether with the opioid and drug addiction partnering with HC Drug Free, or with the mental health partnering with the Horizon Foundation, or letting people know that we have something called like a Healthy Howard. Although when we initiated Healthy Howard under the former county executive, it was before the Affordable Care Act, and it was something that really was innovative and revolutionary. Under this current county executive, there's been significantly less funding. Mm. And so, you know, how do we still ensure that people have that access to affordable health care and know what's available?
And then anything else you want to share regarding I know that's more of a national issue regarding Affordable Care Act, but just like what you said, that's where the Healthy Howard was in place, mm-hmm. and then just like what you've mentioned that.
But helping people mm-hmm. know what's the process. Mm-hmm. A lot of people who are in need, it becomes overwhelming. They don't even know where to start. What's the number to call? What are the questions to ask? If you're struggling and you have an addiction, or you know someone who you suspect has an addiction, what are the signs? Who do you reach out to? How do you help them without necessarily pushing them away? Many of us become enablers because we just have this sense of paralysis, not because we don't care, it's because we don't feel like we're empowered. And then oftentimes you hear, oh, well, I knew that there was something going on after the fact. Or the converse is, well, they always seem like a nice person, but now that you mention it, so what are the signs that we can really help out our fellow neighbors? What are the signs that when our loved ones or even ourselves get caught up and we have difficulties, what can we do to stop it before it spirals completely out of control?
And I think it starts there with ourselves first, because how could we be able to identify others
right.
without really reflecting inside? And hopefully that we are that we would welcome the idea that we each and every one of us are vulnerable to certain things, and if we are, that we would be self-accepting enough to go ahead and identify, you know what, it's okay to get help.
Right.
And just like what you mentioned, okay, and after you identify what that problem is, where can I go, or who can I contact in order to get the necessary help or assistance that I need.
Right. Letting people know that they're not alone. Anybody in any of these circumstances or many other, in Howard County, we're known to be such an affluent county, a county where people are just so gifted and talented. And when you struggle in that sort of environment, it's often very solitary. Mm-hmm. And when people have difficulties, sometimes it's even worse and they hurt themselves instead of seeking the help because they feel like they're the only one. And so really helping them know that they're not alone, that there are lots of people who have difficulties, who have challenges, who either make bad decisions or just get caught up because of, you know, they had a bad knee injury and they started taking certain drugs that they got addicted to. There are so many ways and pathways that people get to the precipice of failure, and they can be pulled back and have a very successful, happy life.
As whatever the narrative is nationally and locally, I mean, obviously nationally it's just more magnified, but with our podcast, the one of the words there is collaboration. And so, and I think we need to go ahead and start promoting more of collaboration with parties involved, with different individuals involved. So that's my question to you. How do you plan to work with the other party or individuals involved in order to be successful with your plans and initiatives?
Well, other than just being an elected official, I'm also an educator and a certified mediator. And so I have always aspired to bring everyone together. And anyone who shares my goals and my values, even if they have a different perspective, I welcome those different perspectives because that's often how you can come up with a more innovative and inclusive decision. And it also minimizes tunnel vision. And so I am very supportive and seek those. In fact, there are some people who I've started off with them being very critical and often negative toward me, and then I've just reached out. And once we have a conversation about their perspective, about their concerns, we come to a place where not only are we very productive in creating solutions for our county, but some of us even become friends, you know, because I think once people understand and you see someone get a little closer, it's no longer that they're just a stranger or an enemy. They can be that person that's not that different from you. Maybe they just have a different perspective or different experiences, but they can become a friend. And so I welcome that. That said, I think it's incumbent upon leaders when our communities are threatened, when there are those who try to oppose the things that we hold sacred, like looking out for those who are most in need. Leaders need to step up and they need to speak out against those atrocities. And they need to make sure that they protect our citizens and our residents from harm's way. And I think that there needs to be that balance of working with others, but still showing some leadership. Because the vast majority of people who aspire to elective office, or just in general, they are good people. They don't wake up every day and say, how can I hurt the most people? They might just have a different way of getting to what they think is a good solution. And sometimes if you have two people and they have two different ways, maybe there's a third way mm-hmm. that brings everybody together and helps even more people.
And that's the deal. We don't have to have elected officials, just like what you said. Any leaders for that matter. If you're a small business owner or you're a manager, you're a supervisor, these are things that we could all, hopefully we could all learn from right. and continue to go ahead and do. So how can we, speaking of small business owners, so how can we as a private medical provider or such as, some private medical providers such as physical therapy, how can we assist you in focusing on solutions to the top three health and wellness problems that you just identified earlier?
So oftentimes over my time as an elected official, whenever I've reached out to businesses and business owners, oftentimes the answer is leave us alone. Let us just do our job and regulate us less. And I understand and respect that perspective. However, if you're a subject matter expert, sometimes just helping those of us who are policymakers understand your industry, understand your challenges, begins that dialogue of what we can do to make things better. And there are often times where, as policymakers, we have to become generalists. we have to work on land use and alcohol and climate change and education and funding and a thousand different things, because there are a myriad of issues that come up over the course of our time as elected officials. So if you are someone who understands an issue or a problem and you're a small business owner or even a medium or larger sized business owner, to just say, hey, let's have a conversation. Let me introduce you to 10 other people who are having the same problem, or here's somebody who has an innovative solution. No one is listening. If only we had a government official to help us get the word out, this free service that's open to everybody because nobody knows about it. These are the kind of conversations that we can have. And, you know, we're very lucky here in Howard County in that we have an engaged, caring group of not only elected officials, but neighbors mm-hmm. who, when we come together, we can do phenomenal things to be that best county for everyone, and to be that example, that beacon of light in what sometimes feels like a dark and stormy world.
And in terms of subject matter experts, just returning to that, and that's why we're doing these podcasts. And with some of the questions that you asked me prior to the recording, those are indeed common questions that I am asked of who have been your guests, why did you invite them, and why are you doing this, the why of this whole program. And it's exactly that point, because we are not, I mean, of course, we can talk more about physical therapy in itself, how to avoid knee pain and so on and so forth, but we view health and wellness more than what we can go ahead and provide. And that's why we have all of these guests that have come here and that we continue to go ahead and have, so that we are able to shed light and we are able to communicate to the public a little bit more of how all of these things are connected. And so just returning to the top three things that you've identified, yes, we have somewhat extensively discussed opioid problems here in this county and nationally for that matter. And mental health is one of the aspects that sometimes we see. And on that note, in one of our future guests, we will have one of the members of the Maryland Psychological Association mm-hmm. to be part of this, so we can go ahead and talk more about that aspect. And just overall, the affordable, how to make health and wellness affordable.
Right.
And yes, just one of the things that you mentioned earlier, that there are so many people just ending up in the emergency room. And that's one of the things that Mr. Snellgrove and I talked about in one of our last podcasts, that they are being bombarded as such. And instead of them helping, I mean, they need to help who they need to help, yes. Right. But if we work from a health and wellness point of view first, and not that I'm super uber sick before I go ahead and seek help, let's go ahead and attack the problem way before it starts. And that's one of the common themes as well that we try to go ahead and promote, and all of our guests have promoted, that we need to go ahead and address these issues before it becomes a catastrophe.
Well, so just like what you mm-hmm. were just talking about as far as getting to root causes. Oftentimes when we see some of our biggest societal challenges like foreclosure or homelessness or suicide, those are the final things that we saw. But many of them started with a health issue, whether it's mental illness or addiction or some sort of health issue that cost so much money that it bankrupted them. You can have, as you know, a health crisis that you get a bill from a hospital for $100,000. Most of us don't have an extra $100,000 lying around. And then that kind of spirals into you get behind on your bills, you're more stressed, maybe people begin to take that stress out in unhealthy ways, whether it's, you know, hurting themselves or hurting others, domestic abuse. And so these are many of the challenges that we see in society stem from us not going to the root causes and addressing the health and wellness challenges that people are facing. So I think the more proactive and the more thoughtful we can be in addressing those root causes, the more effective we can be in addressing more societal problems, which don't just impact the people directly affected. When there's a foreclosure, everyone's home values go down.
Yep.
When there are homeless people, not only do compassionate and caring people feel badly, but it just impacts the quality of life for everyone. When you have a medical emergency and you have to go to the ER and wait for hours and hours because people didn't have that access to healthcare and they just showed up for things that weren't necessarily emergencies per se, that impacts your ability to get in and get that emergency done. You know, we want people in Howard County, at least I do, to live their best lives. And if we think about things like education and many of the other quality of life issues, people can't do those things well if they're hungry, if they're working through some of these other challenges, if they're addicted. And so we need to come together and really make those things a priority and not just say, oh, you know, it's an issue and there's another person who had a fatality, or we gave this person, we rescued them. We need to really get and address these issues. We should be that example where in a generation other counties are looking to us and solving chronic homelessness, solving some of these access so that there is almost, you know, like what we see with the jobless numbers, almost no one has a challenge with affordable health care.
If I could use my own personal living situation here, so I've lived in San Francisco and Arizona and different counties here in Maryland, and I can't emphasize enough of the importance of the community, and I really see the difference with all the communities that I have lived in, and that's why I feel really compelled to be able to continue to provide that. And as you've mentioned, if we're being used as an example to have more solutions more than problems, and again, that's one of the reasons why we're doing this, because it's not only our respective society. If we could be a good example for others, why not? What else, what other specific possibly initiatives that you're thinking or planning to go ahead and do? I know you've talked about the programs earlier, but if you can be a little bit more specific with some of these initiatives and how you want to approach them and how you want to make them work, feel free to share this in the next few here.
Well, a few things. One of the things that I used to have was a men's health day. Men live sicker and die younger than our female counterparts. And oftentimes it's because we think we can just walk it off. We don't go to the doctor. We don't take serious care of our health. And so, you know, really just having men recognize that and empowering them and educating them, go out and get yourself taken care of. Get the tests that you're supposed to have. And so I think we need to bring that back. Have those men's health awareness and, you know, expand it again to the family so that everyone is aware of the health challenges, because oftentimes even if a man isn't paying attention like he should, if his spouse or his child or someone who really loves him and cares about him says, you know, you haven't been to the doctor in a while, or I see you're walking around with pain, you don't need to live that way. Those are some of the things that we can do. We can have screenings of videos that help us, movies that help us understand issues such as how people are dealing with addiction. If we've never struggled through addiction, we may not know what the signs are. And even if we were to read them, we still may not know what the signs are. So having screenings about these, having screenings about mental health so that we can see some of those signs. You know, I have two children and one is in high school. I might not know all of the signs until it's too late. And it is something to lose a child or not be able to be what your child needed at that time, or to advocate for your child and others who had the power didn't recognize the signs, is something that is saddening forever. And we should be a supportive place for our children. And one of the best ways to do that is to start by educating ourselves and making sure we understand how we can do better. Because, you know, once we know better, we can do better.
And returning to the word stigma here, and I'm glad that you brought that up, because with my psychology background as well, is that with phrases such as man it up or boys don't cry,
right.
it's unfortunate that emotions seems to be gender categorized, mm-hmm. and we forget that we have this biological side of things, and it's this cultural of man don't show your emotions. The only emotions that we have is just anger, or it's right. it's a little bit more limited, and these are things that we hopefully get to promote to our listeners. Yes, in terms of everyone's health, for that matter, and returning to that again of having that self care, not to be selfish,
right?
But self care to take care of ourselves, because we become good examples for everybody else.
Exactly. Yeah. If you have a vehicle, you would get the oil change, you would put in fuel, you would make sure that it's taken care of so that it can last longer and you can have a better life of that vehicle. And we are the best vehicles of what we can be, of our vision, of everyone who's poured into us, our parents, everyone who's ever loved us, and everyone who ever will love us. So we need to take care of ourselves better than any other vehicle that we would have.
Yes, and to our patients who are listening to this podcast, they do hear us talk about that analogy, because if we tell them, look, if cars are, you know, have alignment, wheel alignment, rightfully so, why not us human beings?
Right.
So, all right. Well, again, Dr. Ball, thank you for being our guest in our special edition for our podcast here, and hopefully our listeners would be able to go ahead and choose accordingly. And that's, again, that's why we're doing this, so that we would have a better idea of what each candidate is for and what they have plans for us. So for our listeners, thank you for listening and sharing this to everyone. And if you have any questions, feel free to call us at 443-979-7171. And again, Dr. Ball, if regardless of whatever the results are, if you think we would be able to help you out as subject matter experts, feel free to tap us, okay?
Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.